As a content creator, you might find it challenging to stay productive and focused, especially when there is a constant demand for fresh and engaging content. Procrastination is a common problem that can negatively impact your work and your ability to meet deadlines. But with some simple strategies and a bit of discipline, you can overcome procrastination and become a more consistent content creator. Whether you are doing this as a side hustle or full-time, in this episode, we're going to discuss some effective ways to avoid procrastination and stay on track. Welcome to the Creator Club podcast. I'm your host, Katie Steckley. I'm a side hustle YouTuber turned six-figure entrepreneur that's obsessed with social media, making content, and building communities. Here on the Creator Club podcast, we dive deep into the social media strategies and content creation tactics that are sustainable and effective, not just surface level hacks and tricks. Whether you're creating content for Instagram, making YouTube videos, posting TikToks, or producing podcasts, I've got some tips and ideas to share that you might find helpful on your creator journey. So stay tuned to my workshop style solo shows and the occasional expert interview. Oh, and by the way, this club is open to everyone. Whether you have 1 or 1 million followers, there is a seat at the table for you. So let's get into it. Are you a content creator who's been struggling to grow your YouTube channel? You might be thinking that your biggest challenge is mastering the algorithm, figuring out how to edit videos, or designing the perfect thumbnails. But the truth is, the biggest challenge most creators face is burnout. Creating a sustainable YouTube strategy that works for you is essential for preventing burnout and achieving long-term growth. That's where the Sustainable YouTube Strategy Planner comes in. This interactive worksheet is designed to guide you through the process of creating a growth strategy that is not only effective, but also sustainable for you and your lifestyle. The planner will help you identify what you love to create, what performs well for your audience, and what you actually have time to create. Best of all, the Sustainable YouTube Strategy Planner is completely free. That's right. I made it for you just as a little gift. You can download this guide and start creating a strategy that actually works for you without having to invest any money. It's just your time. So if you're ready to take your YouTube game to the next level, download the Sustainable YouTube Strategy Planner today. You can grab it at the link in the show notes. First, we got to talk about the struggles of being a content creator. Struggles that probably everybody listening can relate to, and how these specific struggles might be the reason that you're procrastinating. Many content creators face obstacles while producing content, which can lead to procrastination. Obviously, when the going gets tough, a lot of us kind of put off getting going, right? And sometimes before we can stop procrastinating or find a system that works for us, we first need to figure out why we are procrastinating in the first place. Here are some of the major common problems that content creators face, and hopefully this can help you to kind of do some soul searching and determine what your roadblock is so that once you figure out what that is, we can move forward with creating a solution. So listen carefully to these various struggles and think about whether this might be what you're facing or the struggle that you're going through. So the first one is deciding on a niche. One of the biggest challenges for new content creators is finding a niche that they are passionate about and can create content consistently on. This requires a lot of brainstorming, research, and experimentation. And honestly, sometimes you might change your mind and decide to go an entirely different direction. I really think that deciding on a quote unquote niche, or just, you know, in other terms, figuring out what your reason for being a creator is, figuring out what your purpose is, what your content's going to be about, that is the biggest problem and biggest decision, really, that content creators face. And if you're feeling uncertain, it might be part of the reason why you're finding it difficult to go ahead and make that content. It might be why you're procrastinating. Second big roadblock is seeing no results. As a content creator, it can be discouraging to pour your heart and soul into a project only to see little or no results. And that is something that we, I'm sure, can all relate to. Sometimes it feels like no matter how much effort you put in, you're not getting anywhere. This can lead to procrastination and a lack of motivation to continue creating. Because sometimes it feels like, oh, well, it doesn't matter if I try hard. I don't see the results anyway. So why don't I just stop trying? You know, I think that we've all faced that feeling when creation and growth on social media can just feel inaccessible to you. Like, you're seeing everybody else skate along this ice surface, making it look easy, and you're like underneath in the frozen water, like, I can't get out, you know? It can feel so challenging, you know? It just feels impossible sometimes. So trust me, I relate to that. I've been there. Sometimes I still feel like I'm there, and it is just, you know, a mental roadblock for a lot of us. And you can totally see how this naturally leads to procrastination. So if this is you, don't feel bad. Don't feel any shame around that, because it's really important to remember that success doesn't come overnight. And as much as other people are making it look easy, they probably are also feeling the same way sometimes. Every piece of content you create is valuable in its own way, even if it's just helpful or inspiring or entertaining to one other person, it's still worth making. Even if you are the only person that ever sees it, it's worth making because it's the satisfaction in the creation process for you. So just know that the results will come in time. If you are struggling with this, I see you. I feel you. We can move through it. Common roadblock number 3 is generating quality content. Consistently producing high quality posts is one of the biggest challenges of content creation. It can be difficult to come up with new ideas, transform them into engaging content, and execute them flawlessly. This leads to a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves. So here's a tip. When you're just starting out, just know your content is not going to be perfect. But I recommend focusing on these 3 things to kind of help you improve your craft: the planning or scripting process, confidence in your delivery, which I really believe just comes with practice. You just have to do it and kind of build up that muscle. And thirdly, the audio quality. So maybe invest in a small microphone or get creative. Like, for example, sometimes I record voiceovers under a blanket so that I don't have echo, you know. Just do what you need to do. So to summarize again, planning and scripting, focus on coming up with a really great concept and telling a good story. Number 2, confidence in your delivery. And number 3, quality audio. I think those are going to be the 3 biggest things that contribute to the quality of your content. Everything else, you can kind of just let go a little bit. Because really what this point comes down to, what this roadblock comes down to, is perfectionism. And a lot of creators really struggle with that. So if you can kind of condense down what you're focusing on to those 3 major components, that'll help you let go of the rest and not freak out so much if each piece of content is not completely perfect. Creative editing and quality video are important in addition to those 3 points. But don't get me wrong, you got to take it one step at a time. You can expand your craft and get better at creating content as you go. Start with those smaller building blocks and work your way up. If the information you're providing is valuable, if the entertainment you're providing is interesting and fun, if the inspiration you're providing is encouraging, like if there is the quality and the substance there, your content's going to be good. Don't stress out about what camera you're using or any of that stuff. All of that will come in time and with practice. Just deliver your content with confidence and make sure your audience can hear you clearly, and then go from there. The next major roadblock that might be causing that procrastination for you is creating the right environment. So, I know a lot of creators struggle with this. You worry that your house isn't cute enough, your lighting's not good enough, I don't have an aesthetic apartment like some of the influencers I watch. Look, I know, finding a corner that is both aesthetically pleasing and free from the disturbances of life can be very challenging when you're creating content at home. You need to know that if you watched my videos before they were edited, there is in every video probably 3 to 5 moments where I have to pause and just sit quietly in front of the camera because there is a fire truck or a police car or some kind of siren going past outside my apartment, or there is somebody honking because somebody is making a left turn when they shouldn't be, or whatever. I live on a very busy street. There is always outside noises. So don't be mistaken into thinking, oh, I just have this absolutely perfect studio environment for filming my YouTube videos. I do not. I just cut out the parts that are not so great. And then I go back into whatever I was saying, and, you know, it all feels seamless in the end, but there are those struggles. And I do feel very fortunate, I will say, to have some nice natural lighting and, you know, a consistent look to a lot of my apartment. But, you know, if you've watched my video where I talk about how I film in a small space, you'll see that I'm really making it look a lot bigger than it is in a lot of ways. So all of that is just to say, you do need to get creative. I understand not everybody is starting with the same resources, so it can be a struggle sometimes, whether you're dealing with loud traffic noises like me, or you're dealing with all north-facing windows and no natural light or whatever. Yeah, it can be a bit of a struggle. You got to work with what you have, but you need to try to keep an optimistic attitude about it and see how you can get creative to transform even just a small part of your home into a space that you can use for filming, taking photos, recording a podcast, whatever it might be that you're pursuing as a creator. Don't fall into the trap of thinking, once I have a nicer house, once I have a bigger apartment, then I can do it. No, we will always think that. I could tell myself that now. Oh, my apartment's not big enough. Oh, it's too loud outside. But, you know, you got to just plow forward and create content if you want to create it. So I know that's a major roadblock, a major source of procrastination for a lot of creators. But I'm telling you, you got to accept it and move on. Don't get caught up in thinking that you need a different space. And the final big roadblock that I wanted to tackle is dealing with criticism and trolls. Unfortunately, the internet can be a bit of a hostile place sometimes. We often aren't prepared for the criticism and hatefulness of people online. And, you know, it's also important to understand the difference between constructive feedback and, you know, what might be like hate or whatever. And I think that that's something that's a case-by-case basis. I mean, okay, there's some things that you know. It's always just hate and you can ignore it. My like general rules are, if somebody is making a comment about your appearance or your body in any way, shape, or form, that can be immediately discarded out of the gate because that's just, you know, inappropriate and not necessary. If somebody is, you know, maybe bringing up suggestions about the content of what you're saying, or they have a different idea or a different approach, you know, that's different. But I feel like often you'll know, and if you feel like you just need to ignore it, you have permission to ignore it. You don't have to let people into your comment section that you don't want to be there. You know, it's ultimately your space online. But I understand that this can be intimidating and it can feel scary to put yourself out there and be open to that kind of criticism because, yeah, sometimes people can be really mean, especially in our current environment where we have these algorithms that kind of put your content in the face of people who didn't ask for it. Like, that's how the TikTok For You page works. That's how YouTube recommendations and the YouTube homepage works. So even though, you know, it's served to users based on their past behavior, what they've shown to be interested in, sometimes there can be a mismatch there and you're gonna maybe end up on the feed of somebody who's not so favorable to you. Whereas in the past, when, you know, you just showed up in the subscriptions box of people that already know and love you, it feels a little bit more safe. So I get it. One of the rules I have for myself is, once a piece of content that I have gets more views than I have followers on that platform, so like let's say a YouTube video gets over 200,000 views, at that point I'll probably stop looking at the comments so closely. YouTube is generally pretty friendly to me, so I don't struggle with that as much there. But on TikTok especially, if I get a ton of views on TikTok, I'm going to stop looking at the comments because there are probably going to be people saying mean things. So then you just don't look. And I know that can be hard, but it's an important part of self-care as a creator. All of this is to say, if you are stuck there feeling like, I really want to be a creator, but I'm really scared of dealing with the criticism, you just need to know that we all go through that. It's okay. It's okay to feel a little nervous and to feel a little vulnerable. But if you come up with strategies like I mentioned, you know, not looking at comments when something goes viral or whatever it might be, then I think that it is possible to find a healthy balance where you allow yourself to still put yourself out there and be creative without worrying too much about what strangers on the internet are going to have to say about you. Those are just a roundup of some of the very common challenges that a lot of creators have that lead to procrastination, and, you know, some that I have personally struggled with as well. If you have any other major struggles as a creator or specific questions that you have around this kind of thing, you can always reach out to us at hello@creatorlymedia.com with those questions, because we might just talk about them here on the podcast, which leads us into our new listener favorite segment of the episode, the Creator Q&A. So welcome here, welcome. If you haven't heard one of our new format episodes yet, welcome to the Creator Q&A segment. This is just a little break in the middle of the episode where I answer a question submitted from a listener. So we're going to hear from our listener this week, Rebecca, who is at @360doula on Instagram. And we're going to see what Rebecca is struggling with and see what advice I have to share with her. So let's dive into it. So this question from Rebecca reads, I'm a new birth doula looking to grow my Instagram and email list following for my specific niche, generational trauma and its connection to female fertility and health. I post on the same days every week. I have a mixture of content, nutritious versus candy. Shout out, Rebecca. I'm glad that you like my little metaphor about Instagram strategy. I see you. And I'm working on making my visuals have a consistent look. I recently redid my color scheme, but I'm having trouble growing. Recently, my stories have even dropped by half the amount of views, and I've been advertising my new product launch in stories, but with very minimal link clicks. I started my Instagram in December 2022, but how do I know when my niche is too niche? Sometimes I get more engagement and other times I don't, but it's all within the same content information umbrella. So I'm confused about what I'm doing wrong. This is such a good question. And thank you so much for reaching out, Rebecca, and sharing your story with us. Let's get into it. First of all, I don't think that your niche is too niche. I think that you've got a really great focus and that there are some people out there that are really, really going to find value in what you're sharing. That being said, I do think it's important to focus on the audience as a whole versus just your area of expertise. And I think that this kind of mindset shift might help you a little bit expand your audience and grow a little bit more, because I think what you have covered right now from what you're saying really well is sharing that value and sharing that information that's very focused on what you do and what, you know, expertise you have to offer. But maybe the other half that we could focus on growing into a little bit more is the relatability piece, so that you can attract audience members that vibe with you, like what you have to share, you know, share your values and all that stuff, but they maybe aren't specifically looking for, you know, doula information just yet. But at some point, maybe they will, and they'll want your services and they'll want your expertise. But for now, they maybe are just looking for content that they kind of vibe with and enjoy and relate to. So the way that I've talked about this a lot on my podcast and in YouTube videos and stuff is, rather than thinking about your niche, the idea of your niche as kind of picking your subject and then using that to generate what your content pillars would be and then therefore what your post ideas would be. So in your case, saying, okay, you know, my niche is generational trauma and connection to female fertility. Blop. Okay, good. Now I'm going to come up with my pillars based on that. And then based on that, I'm going to come up with my post ideas. So rather than doing that, what I would recommend is actually kind of, as cheesy as it sounds, letting the niche choose you by first focusing on who your audience is first. So this is what I would recommend to do. Grab a piece of paper, or if you like to use something like Notion, you know, like I do, open that up and create a new little database or create like a little chart. List out three avatars. So in marketing, an avatar is like a little fictional person that helps us understand who our ideal customers are so that we can more easily create content for them. So I would recommend creating these three avatars and get really specific, like come up with characters, come up with names for these people and write down details about them. Like what are their hobbies? What are their skills? What are their favorite foods and places to go? What are they watching on Netflix? What kind of music do they love listening to? You get the idea. Really go in depth about who these people are. And once you figure out who these three potential audience members are, and maybe each of them kind of leans into a different specific of what you offer. Maybe one of them is like someone who's currently on a fertility journey. Maybe one is like, you know, a mom, maybe whatever. Like you can come up with kind of different approaches to the people that might be in your audience. And once you kind of figure out who these people are, that's when you come up with your content pillars. So you want to think of five probably, or however many, but five is a good even number for this kind of a thing, different topics that would interest your audience. So it's not going to be just information about fertility or just information about working through generational trauma, but maybe also some more lifestyle or just kind of like vibey stuff that your people might like. Maybe it's like a certain style of of content, like maybe poetry that really speaks to your audience or a certain type of visual that really speaks to them. Figure out what those kind of other fill in the blank sort of pieces are, because that's going to be the kind of content that attracts people to you even when they aren't looking for your specific information and kind of education yet. So that should help you kind of round out your strategy for reaching new people that maybe aren't specifically looking for answers to questions yet, but they're just kind of looking for a kind of style of content that they vibe with and that they, you know, share your values and they want to see what you have to share. And I think that that approach might help you get a little bit more of a balanced mixture of topics that will help you not only nurture your existing audience, which it sounds like you're doing a really good job of right now, but also help you grow and find new potential audience members. Hopefully that is helpful. And if any of you listening in addition to Rebecca are also struggling with, is my niche too niche? Hopefully that gives you a bit of an answer of where you can go from here. I really, really recommend taking an audience first approach and not getting too stuck on making every single content pillar like hyper related to your overall niche, and rather, you know, include stuff that's just sort of for fun, that kind of connects with people on a more emotional level rather than on an informational level. And I think that will help you grow. So hopefully, Rebecca, that was helpful. If you'd like more information, or if anybody else who's listening would like more specific help with growing your account, you can actually head over to creatorlymedia.com/audits. Over there, my team provides Instagram audits. We also do TikTok audits, YouTube audits, all that stuff to help you kind of get a picture of where you're at right now on your social media platform of choice and what our suggestions would be for how you can really be strategic and grow. So if you want an expert opinion on your current strategy and recommendations for a future strategy, check out our social media audits at creatorlymedia.com/audits. And thanks again so much, Rebecca, for submitting your question. And again, if you're listening, would like to have your question answered on a future episode, hit us up at hello@creatorlymedia.com. All right, let's get back into the episode. Earlier in the episode, we talked about some of the common struggles of being a content creator and how they can really lead to procrastination. So now I want to transition to talking about what we can actually do to fix it, talking about some tips for working through and avoiding procrastination. Studies show that around 20% of adults procrastinate chronically. So first of all, just know you're not alone. It's very common and very normal. But not only does procrastination cause us to not get things done, but it can also negatively affect our mental health. Procrastination can lead to feelings of anxiety and guilt. It can also leave us feeling unproductive, lazy, and ineffective. In other words, it can affect the way we feel about ourselves. It can really lead to, you know, negative self-image. So to help us stop feeling this way, let's talk about some of these tactics that we can use, these proven methods of how to deal with procrastination, especially when it comes to your journey as a content creator. So the first thing I want to talk about is eating the frog. You may have heard of this. It's a productivity technique that gets its name from a quote by Mark Twain, which says, "If it's your job to eat a frog, it's best to do it first thing in the morning. And if it's your job to eat two frogs, it's best to eat the biggest one first." By tackling the most challenging tasks first, you'll feel a sense of accomplishment early in the day and be more motivated to continue working. Now, if you hit that afternoon slump and you can't imagine doing one more productive thing, you'll know that you've already accomplished so much by using this method. This is my personal go-to. I am a bit of a morning person, so I feel most productive when I first start my day. So on the days when I'm planning to film a YouTube video, it's the first thing that I want to do and just get it out of the way. So consider eating your frog, and that will help you overcome procrastination because you've already done it. Now it's on to the rest of the day. The next method I want to share with you is productive procrastination. So productive procrastination is when you do something productive with that time that you are using to procrastinate. So for example, you could watch an educational YouTube video or read a book that will help you learn a skill you need for the larger task you're procrastinating. This way, you're still being productive even if you're not working on that primary task at hand. Maybe you just can't bring yourself to edit anymore and your procrastination bug is really starting to hit, so you decide to take a walk to the coffee shop for a pick-me-up, and while doing so, you listen to the Creator Club podcast. Just a little suggestion. For me, what this looks like right now is I was feeling like, oh, I need just like a Netflix show to watch so that I can just completely, you know, chill sometimes, and I decided that I was going to find a new Netflix series to watch in Spanish because I'm trying to learn Spanish right now. And so that's kind of my little built-in productive procrastination, because I know that if I'm going to go watch Netflix, I don't know if you relate to this, I'm always going to watch, you know, whatever's easiest. I don't like to have to like search around and find something new. So I like to have a series that I can just like keep watching the next episode. So I know myself, and I know that I'm just going to press play and keep watching. And so if the series that I'm currently watching is on Espanol, then, you know, I'm going to keep watching a show in Spanish. So that's my little hack. You can figure out what yours might be. Maybe it's listening to the Creator Club podcast. Okay, next suggestion is time batching. So time batching involves grouping similar tasks together and setting aside time to complete them until you reach your goal. This helps minimize distractions and enables you to concentrate, pay attention to details, and be productive. By separating your to-do list into batches, you can focus your full attention on specific tasks instead of multitasking. For example, when you're doing chores at home, you start by cleaning your closet, then you move on to folding your laundry, and then finally, you do the dishes. At work, you can focus on one task at a time, such as putting together a presentation, sending all 10 emails, and then writing the report introduction. So that just kind of shows you how, like, instead of bopping back and forth between, I'm working on a presentation, okay, now I'm going to answer an email for 30 seconds, okay, now I'm going to write the report intro, now I'm back to writing emails, okay, now I'm going to work on my presentation again. You're not going to be able to be effective in the time you are spending on each thing, and also you're more likely to slip into procrastination mode, like scrolling on TikTok or tapping through Instagram stories, rather than actually getting your work done. So time batching really helps you avoid constantly switching activities and refocusing your attention, which ends up wasting time. So I really recommend batching your, especially your content creating tasks. Next tip for you, give yourself a time limit. Parkinson's law states that work expands to fill the time allotted for its completion. This means that if you give yourself too much time to complete a task, you may end up procrastinating or taking longer than necessary. This is something I definitely experience in my own life. Have you ever felt like on your busiest days when you have a million meetings and you have so much stuff that you're trying to do in between all your other tasks, you get so much more done than on a day where you tell yourself, all I need to do today is edit this YouTube video? I definitely feel like that. I get way more done on my busy days than I do on my days with less, and it's because your work expands to fill the time allotted. Provide yourself with a more accurate time limit to complete each of your required tasks. To figure this out, because you don't want to just start by being like, I'm going to edit a YouTube video in 5 minutes. Okay, no, you actually won't be able to do that, right? So we need to be realistic at the same time. So I recommend start by timing yourself for each of your recurring tasks, and then based on your average time spent, then you can start kind of allotting that amount of time for yourself for future work. And especially if you are like on a busier day, kind of doing like, say, your YouTube edit or whatever it might be, time yourself on that day, because that's probably going to be when you're most efficient. And then you can kind of take that, add 20%, and that can be like your reasonable amount of time that you want to give yourself for each task. So just be cognizant of that. Work expands to fill the time allotted. Let's talk about the 10-minute rule. The 10-minute rule is a simple yet effective way to overcome procrastination. Sit down and do the work for the next 10 minutes. Once the 10 minutes are up, you can then decide whether or not you will continue. 9 times out of 10, you'll probably decide to keep going. The idea is that once you get the ball rolling, you'll find that the task is not as bad as you expected, and you'll feel more motivated to complete it. Most tasks seem more intimidating than they actually are, so by starting it, you'll end up proving to yourself that it's not so bad. This is the exact same tactic that I use for myself when I'm trying to like get back into reading, because, you know, if you're a bit of a book girly like me, you know, you want to get your reading goal done on Goodreads for the year, but it can be hard once you finish a good book to get back into a new one, right? So that's when I tell myself, okay, I have to read for 10 minutes. I have to read this new book for 10 minutes. And if I don't like it after that, I don't have to keep reading it. And usually by 10 minutes, I am invested. I'm interested. I want to keep reading. So the same rule applies for working, right? You feel like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even begin to start editing this podcast or writing this blog post. But once you spend 10 minutes, you're like, oh, actually, I could maybe keep doing this. And so it's just a little mental trick to kind of convince yourself like, okay, I could do it for 10 minutes. That's not a big deal. And then I can quit. And then once you do it, you're like, okay, yeah, I have tricked myself into doing this work. It's okay. I can keep going. Hey there, I just wanted to quickly interrupt myself to ask you a question. Did you know that me and my team at Creatorly Media have Instagram services?
If you've been dreaming of starting or growing your Instagram, but have felt overwhelmed by some of the technical or strategic aspects, like maybe you're not sure how often you should post, what time you should post, what's the deal with hashtags anyway, or maybe you're struggling with editing reels or creating graphic carousels. Well, that's exactly what we are here for. We can help you make your Instagram dream a reality with our professional strategy development or content creation services, or all of the above. If you're ready to start growing a community on Instagram and really seeing results with your personal brand or business, then check out our services at creatorlymedia.com/services. If you have any questions or want to chat, you can reach out and someone from the Creatorly Media team would be super happy to talk with you about how we can help you with creating your content or developing your strategy for Instagram. We can't wait for you to become a part of the Creatorly Media team. So reach out at creatorlymedia.com/services. Another thing that you might want to try is pairing unenjoyable tasks with enjoyable ones. This can make the overall experience more enjoyable. So, for example, if you hate writing and you have a writing task to complete, make yourself a nice little cup of matcha or coffee or whatever your favorite beverage is. And this will just kind of make it feel more like an event. Maybe you light a candle, whatever. It just kind of gives you this like sensation of like, okay, this is a fun thing. This is an enjoyable thing that I'm doing right now. And it convinces you that you also like writing. For me, I like to do some of my more difficult tasks that I have a hard time focusing on at a local coffee shop because I love the vibe there. I just love being there. It makes me feel like, oh, this is a fun little outing, right? So again, it's just one of those mental tricks you can use to convince yourself that you actually really like doing the work that you've been avoiding, and it makes it easier to stop procrastinating it. Last tactic I want to share with you is rewarding yourself. Rewarding oneself helps you work better and encourages and enhances productivity with positivity. This doesn't have to be only big wins. You could treat yourself to your favorite takeout after you complete a YouTube video. Or maybe you tell yourself that you can binge watch the new Queer Eye season if you finish all your tasks for the week. Did anybody else start watching the new season? New Orleans? I've seen episode one. It's very cute so far. Anyway, you can reward yourself with the things you would rather be doing. I like to take a bubble bath, you know, when I finish a hard week of work. Whatever it is, give yourself a little reward. I think one of the biggest things that we can kind of focus on when it comes to procrastination and struggling with being motivated and kind of getting your work done is kind of coming back to and reminding yourself, like, is being a content creator worth all of this trouble? Like all of this work and all this mindset shift and convincing ourselves? I mean, I personally really believe yes. I think that being a content creator is worth the trouble for several reasons. First and foremost, it allows you to express yourself creatively and share your unique perspective with the world. As a content creator, you have the opportunity to create something that is entirely your own. Whether it's a blog post, a video, or a podcast, you have complete control over the content you create, allowing you to share your ideas and creativity in a way that is authentic and unique to you. Another benefit of being a content creator is the community you can build around your work. By creating content that resonates with others, you can attract like-minded individuals who appreciate and support your efforts. This can be incredibly fulfilling as it allows you to connect with others who share your interests and passions. In addition to the creative and social benefits of content creation, it can also be a source of income. Many of us content creators are able to monetize our work through sponsorships, affiliate marketing, or products and services. This can provide financial stability and the freedom to work on your own terms. Like right now, I don't know if you noticed an audio quality difference. Hopefully it's not too bad, but me and my partner Dan are currently living in our self-converted camper van and we're traveling through the US right now. And I can do that because of this content creation business that I've built over the years. It gives me that location flexibility to travel and work. Finally, creating content can help you develop valuable skills that are useful in a variety of different fields. Writing, editing, and marketing are all important skills for content creators, but they are also valuable in many other industries. industries. By honing these skills through content creation, you can improve your prospects in your current career and open up new opportunities in other fields. The whole time that I was growing as a creator and I knew that, you know, my YouTube channel didn't have a lot of subscribers and maybe I never would, I told myself, you know what, even if I don't blow up on YouTube, like, it's okay because I have a killer resume to have a career in marketing, if that's what I want to do. So you really offer yourself a ton of opportunities by continuing to grow these skills that are required to be a creator. Overall, content creation is fulfilling and a worthwhile pursuit for those with a passion for sharing their ideas and creativity with others. While it can definitely be challenging at times, the benefits of content creation make it incredibly rewarding. So really, I want to urge you, don't let procrastination and the potential roadblocks keep you from trying. You can do it. I believe in you. So it's that time of the podcast again. Let's take a break from the podcast and chat a little bit about the creator economy news. Welcome to the creator economy news. I wanted to talk with y'all about Good Mythical Morning. You probably are familiar with these longtime YouTubers, Rhett McLaughlin and Link Neal. I personally have enjoyed a Good Mythical Morning video here and there, and actually my partner Dan is a big fan of their channel. They have become two of the most successful content creators in the social media space, and they actually earned $30 million in 2022, according to Forbes, making them the fourth highest earning YouTubers. As the creator economy continues to grow and surpasses $100 billion in value, venture capitalists are beginning to recognize individual creators as potential investment opportunities, which is really interesting. I mean, this is a huge change in how we think about investing. I mean, obviously, creators are businesses and the market at large is kind of starting to recognize that. So Rhett and Link, who built their internet-based entertainment studio, Mythical Entertainment, that hosts Good Mythical Morning, have actually become investors themselves, which is what kind of makes them newsworthy as of today. So in total, the studio's owned and operated YouTube channels have generated more than 27 billion lifetime views. Rhett and Link have chosen to reinvest their earnings and lessons from their experience in burgeoning creators through an accelerator fund, which is really, really cool. I mean, we see this in the tech space, right? There's like tech incubators and accelerators for tech startups to get this kind of funding, and Rhett and Link are providing this for creators. So Rhett was quoted as saying, "We can bring that along with a direct investment, and that's what led to the Creator Accelerator." Rhett and Link formed the $5 million fund in 2021 to make equity investments in other creators while also providing partnerships and advice on how to create a lucrative business in the creator economy. "The partnerships that we're creating with the Mythical Accelerator empowers creators to make that turn," said Link. "We believe in creators because we believe in ourselves." Their journey is an inspiration to aspiring creators. Starting from their YouTube show, they have built a successful entertainment studio, and they're now investing in and supporting other creators, providing them with guidance and resources that they need to succeed. So Rhett and Link are really a shining example of how hard work, dedication, and a willingness to reinvest in oneself can lead to a great success. And it's really cool to see the creator economy continuing to become more established. And we're starting to see obviously more traditional parts of the kind of economy at large becoming more and more interested in the creator world. So very interesting stuff. I find it very cool to see these kind of developments. So thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Creator Economy News with Newscaster Katie. All right, y'all. Procrastination truly is one of the biggest obstacles for content creators, but I think with the help of these methods that we talked about in today's episode, hopefully you can find your groove and get past the procrastination and build that content creation business of your dreams. I believe in you. I hope that you believe in you, and you can do it. So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Creator Club podcast. I will catch you again next week. Thanks so much for listening to the Creator Club podcast. This show is produced by Creatorly Media, a social media and content marketing agency by creators for creators. If you want professional help growing your social media platforms or creating your content, come visit us at creatorlymedia.com or at Creatorly Media on Instagram. If you've listened this far into the episode, we want to know who you are. Seriously, thank you so much for listening. Screenshot your podcast app and share it to your Instagram story, tagging at Creatorly Media or at Katie Steckley so that we can chat. Again, thanks for listening, and remember to keep on creating. We'll catch you next time.